Yes, my friends, hear this ode. I porked a lizard and a lobster and a horny toad. I'm the king of writers. Woof, woof, woo, woo. I got a 3-year-old girlfriend strung out on glue. I'll end this poem and beat my meat. The demon dog is in perpetual heat. Hear me now. Hear my spiel of L.A. Confidential and how it is real. Ow.
Hey, what are you doing?
Yeah. Did everybody get copies of L.A. Confidential, the novel, the screenplay, and My Dark Places?
Hey, I bought them when they were in stores.
All right.
This is the book about your mother?
Yes.
Were you autographing these for us?
Absolutely.
Wow. Last year, I turned on the TV, and there you are on Unsolved Mysteries. I couldn't even believe it, having read Black Dye and having read... Yeah. Read your history. I mean, what was that?
What was Unsolved Mysteries like?
No, to open the box and see the clothes, to see the clothes, to see what was there.
Well, that was a reconstruction.
Well, I understand that, but you actually did.
Yeah, you read the book, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. To see my mother's, essentially, here's the story that this woman knows, and I know Mr. Dukic knows. My mother was murdered in June of 1958. It's been an unsolved crime for close to 40 years. I went back in 1994 and saw my mother's murder file, wrote a piece for GQ about seeing my mother's murder file 36 years after the fact, and decided to turn it into a book, which is My Dark Places. The book is my autobiography, my mother's biography, and the biography of a retired LA County Sheriff's homicide detective named Bill Stoner, and of the 15-month reinvestigation into my mother's death that we conducted. And in the course of it, there was the event that this woman told me about just now, where I went to the sheriff's evidence warehouse and handled the clothing that my mother was wearing at the time of her death and the nylon stocking and cotton cord she was strangled with. And it was just as fucking mind-blowing as you would think it would be, with the way I describe it in the book.
Have you been looking for your Rollo ever since...
Raul Tomasi is a device of Brian Helgeland and Curtis Hanson. It's not in my book.
Yeah. No, but I mean, have you been looking for one?
Well, my mother's death engendered in me a tremendous curiosity into all things criminal. And that curiosity has been mutating for close to 40 years now. And it's one of the reasons I became a crime novelist, certainly.
And there are many references in L.A. Confidential, the book, to children mm-hmm. who have gone through the trauma of losing.
Well, Bud White specifically, and we got to see Russell Crowe's wrenching and eloquent recitation of Bud White's backstory in the film last night.
You know, after I spoke to you yesterday, I saw the film again, and I thought about what you said. One thing you said, it was about Kim Basinger, Russell Crowe character, mm-hmm. and the age mm-hmm. difference, and we didn't follow up on that, but I'm wondering if that resonates, because in My Dark Places, you're obsessed with a certain kind of woman. I mean, are you mm-hmm. alluding to the fact that perhaps there was that kind of fascination between those two characters?
Yeah. You've got, and I think Curtis Hanson captures it, I think he probably captured it to a large degree unconsciously. Basinger has got to be 11 or 12 years older than Russell Crowe. I think it's recognizable. On one level, they're just a couple of good-looking people, and time-honored Hollywood tradition. On another, Russell's in his early 30s, and Kim is, I don't know, my guess, 43, 44, been around a while. And here's a vital, physical man who saw his own father murder his own mother, later take him, it was essentially a time bomb with a badge, he's bent on random vengeance against wife beaters. Many years later, he meets a prostitute who's older than him. He becomes physically debilitated in the course of this investigation, and they go off together, she to mother him. I think it's, in some ways, it's just that cut and dry.
Do you have to think like a criminal to write about criminals?
It helps. Yeah.
I mean, they say the best cops can think like a criminal. I mean,
you have to be able to assume different perspectives. I think the leap, more than anything else, is one of pure imagination.
Well, two of the architects of the modern detective story, Doyle and Chesterton, mm-hmm. both have detectives that learn how to think like criminals and indeed mm-hmm. risk going over the edge, as they themselves say several times. Mm-hmm. Your detectives are frequently over the edge.
Yeah, they are... They are the antithesis of the bullshit Raymond Chandler character, who's the noble loner who despises all forms of authority. These are guys who exploit all forms of authority, largely for personal gain and advancement.
Do you ever read publications like, you know, the true crime tabloids?
I haven't in many years. I used to skim them occasionally as a youth. There's a deadpan horrific quality to the old True Detective magazines. You get to see the feet sticking out from beneath the sheet. You read the deadpan horrific stories of lust crimes, primarily. Yeah, stupid, twisted, fucked up people killing losers in loser locales. You'll read here in My Dark Places, and you know, you've read the book, and it's full of that kind of horrific recitation.
If your mother had not been killed, would you be sitting?
I never think hypothetically. Honestly, mm-hmm. I can't go back and change it. Mm-hmm. I never waste mental time thinking what might have happened.
You like to put real characters in the book along with the fictional.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, I don't know, we're going to see O.J. Simpson in a book someday? Or when you think of...
Certainly not as long as he's alive, because once a person dies, they lose their right to sue you, and their heirs have no recourse.
How do you choose them? How do you select who you're going to skewer?
I know instinctively.
Johnny Stompin, you know, it's a shame. A lot of people don't remember who he was, audiences, but it's so damn funny.
Well, Johnny Stompinato, in reality, was Mickey Cohen's goon in the late 40s, early 50s. Then he disappeared for a while and pulled sex extortion scams. In reality, he was not messing around with Lana Turner in 1953, as he is in the film. They didn't get together until late in 57. And, of course, he was shanked to death by Lana Turner's daughter, Cheryl Crane, in April 1958.
American Tabloid, you said, is being made by HBO.
Yes. We don't know if it's going to be made.
Oh, they have the right.
They called up my agent and said, we're going to go ahead on it. And that's about all I know.
You don't know who's in it or anything?
No.
Well, it's a hell of a book. I mean...
Thank you.
I'd love to see the Oswald...
Did you read it?
Ruby and the dogs. Let's see how they
do Jack that. Ruby was a dog fucker.
And there's a quote.
There's a great line.
Did
in
you
one
say that some way we could print it?
Feel free.
Dog lover.
Yeah. Who knows what was going on with Jack Ruby? He's probably homosexual. There's a wonderful line in one of the Kennedy research books where the writer says he was rumored to be homosexual, a charge his male roommate hotly denied.
You use words as a weapon. I mean, you just, the staccato style is so interesting. I was telling somebody I read American Tabloid, tried to imitate it, and I couldn't. Yeah. What do you try out? Where does this language come from?
It's got to be perfect. I love the American idiom. I love it and all its vanity and all its profanity in all its ugly, racist, homophobic, jingoistic ardor. And if you're willing to embrace this kind of language and contextualize it, you can go places.
So do you go back then and rewrite it until it comes to
It's got to be perfect. Yeah, it's got to be the right number of words in the right ordering. And it's a style that I've refined over time. Yeah.
What did you feel about Cop?
I don't talk about Cop for attribution.
Well, that
says volumes, yeah.
When you were in Seattle, my daughter was the lippy kid who asked you if writing is easier when you're rich.
Ooh.
That's a riot.
There was a kid who stood up and that was my daughter.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, no, it's not easier. It's not any harder either. If you come to it with passion, if you come to it with a determination to get better and better and better and better and write deeper and darker and more stylistically evolved and altogether more profound books, it's great. I enjoy having money, and I enjoy having the freedom that money gives you, but it's not what drives me.
But to be on
I'd be writing the same books if they were paying me $1.98. Yeah.
To be on the road as much as you are these days, is that about either a release or a frustration in your writing?
It's both, and it's an excellent question. I love this film, so it's wonderful to be able to go out and take the ride with it. I think it's going to create a substantial new readership for me, and I want to make sure that happens. I'll be on the road for the film, actual junketing for the film, up through the LA premiere and a day or two beyond, up to opening day on the 19th. and it's currently what? It's the 6th, so 13 more days. Then I go out for a number of weeks for L.A. Confidential, the movie tie-in edition, the book that you have there, and My Dark Places from Vintage and trade paperback. And I won't be working, and I'll be dead tired of, you know, of all this shit by the time it's over, and I'll go home to Kansas City and get back to work.
Why did you move to Kansas City?
I fell in love with the place. My wife's mother lives there, and we went there to meet her before we got married. I drove around Kansas City for half an hour and realized I want to live there the rest of my life. Do you know the town?
I live there too.
You do?
I teach at the University of Kansas.
In Lawrence?
And, yeah, and it was so ironic to me to think that I had to come all the way to Toronto to meet you.
Did you know I live in KC?
Of course.
Have you read the books?
I've read the books, and I know people like Trussell and Butler that have talked with you.
But I didn't you know like the books?
I didn't know how to get there. Of course. Well, you and Jim Thompson are my favorites.
Listen, why don't I come out and talk to your class?
Are you kidding?
We'll set it up. We'll set it up today. Yeah.
Well, I'll need to know how to.
Yeah. Where do you live in KC?
I live in Mission. Mission, Kansas.
I live in Mission Hills.
At the Fine Arts Theater, where you go sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. I live in Mission Hills. There's a young woman in there called Melina Neat.
Yeah.
Who works for the Pitch.
Pitch Weekly. Yeah. And I write for the New Times.
Yeah. I like it. All right. Isn't it? Well, what a town.
It's
huh?
just, it's a well-kept, is it a well-kept secret anymore? Maybe
people
not.
Come there and go, whoa. It's physically a very beautiful place, and I had an instantaneous positive reaction to it that astonished me.
Now, when are you back? So then I'll leave this, but when are you back in Kansas?
I'd say Thanksgiving, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you watch the funeral today?
No.
What, do you think that whole confidential pull us out of the sheep thing applies to the fascination with this event?
I'm tired of this event right here. Who was this woman? My essential level of feeling. My heart goes out to the wife of Jaime Schmidlap, who died in Terre Haute, Indiana this week. This is a fictional character, sort of like Rolla Tomasi. And, yeah, old Jaime man didn't pay his bills, and Mrs. Jaime man, she's up Schitt's Creek, and they got four kids, and one of them's autistic. And this is what I think of all this. I think I'm tired of hearing celebrities whine about being pursued by the paparazzi, because if you don't want to be rich, famous, celebrated in kowtow to, don't go out and do all the things that you've done to get to that point and complain that people want to watch you take a leak. Diana was complicitous in her own death. I suspect that beside the man who, the driver who died drunk on his fucking ass with three times, you know, the blood level, you know, necessary to determine drunk driving. My feeling is everybody else was drunk in the car too.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, they pulled Dodi Fayed's body out of the car. His dick was blue. You know why? He was dipping it in dye.
Oh man. Oh my gosh.
You know who told me the joke? Danny DeVito.
Do you read much true crime literature? Do you read much true crime books?
No. Used to.
Well, in the case of the Black Dahlia, there's a book written by the detective who was originally on the case, in which he kind of makes a case for solving it.
You're talking about John Gilmore?
I can't remember
his
name.
It's called Severed?
That's it.
He was not a detective. His father
was
not a detective on it. Was an LAPD cop at the time. Let me tell you, what's your name?
Joyce,
it's bullshit.
Is it real?
Yeah, it's bullshit. Yeah.
No kidding.
Well, yeah, he finds a wino who tells him about the crime and says his buddy did it, but it's really him. Nah, there's no proof. There's no corroboration. There's nothing in there. The house that he says Elizabeth Short was murdered in, having to burn down in 1960. It's horseshit.
Black Dahlia was made, not from your book, but a TV movie with Lucy Arnaz. Who owns the rights to your book?
Israeli producer named Rudy Cohen.
Any action on it, sorry?
I don't think that you can predict that any of these books are going to be made into films, because L.A. Confidential was made into a superlative film. They're period books. They're difficult adaptations. I don't think you can make that judgment at all. What's ironic is that of the four L.A. Quartet books, The Black Day, The Big Nowhere, L.A. Confidential, and White Jazz, L.A. Confidential is far and away the most difficult adaptation. Mm-hmm. And yet, it was superbly adapted. And I think it comes down to this. I got lucky. Yeah, Curtis Hanson crossed my path. There's a piece that will be coming out in the October issue of GQ, which should hit the stands in about 20 days. And it's a photo shoot with Russell Crowe and Guy Pearce and the actress who played Lana Turner. And as fashion spread, with an essay by me, a 5,000-word essay, where I talk about Curtis Hanson and I and our respective backgrounds in L.A. in the 50s. And Curtis Hanson is 3 years older than me, and he recalls the era, you know, that much more acutely, because when you go back to 1953, I'm 5 and he's 8, and that's a big age difference, yeah, for children.
Do you have any nostalgia at all for Los Angeles anymore?
I wouldn't call it nostalgia. I have intense curiosity about L.A. back in the 50s, but I haven't lived in L.A. since 1981. I could no more live there than I could flap my arms and fly to Mission, Kansas. And
you lived in Connecticut for a while?
I was in Connecticut for a while, yeah. And that I made a conscious decision with my novel American Tabloid to get out of L.A. I hadn't lived there since 81, and I did not want to be remembered solely as a guy who wrote 4 terrific novels about burned-out cops in L.A. in the 1950s. Thus, I wrote American Tabloid, which is very much about politics as crime. I'll never go back to L.A. as a strict locale.
Really?
Yeah.
Kansas City books?
Perhaps sometime in the future.
I wish you scripted the Altman film.
Yeah, it would have been good.
Yeah. Sometimes it's better to write about a place when you're not there, I guess. There's an imagination factor that kicks in, maybe.
Yeah. You taking off, Dwayne?
Yeah, I gotta take off. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Will you
see him
again?
Yes. I'll see you in Milwaukee.
I'll probably see him.
Yeah, very short book.
I'm very sorry.
It's okay.
I have to apologize as well. I have to go to the same
screening. There's a screening.
Screening?
Okay. Yeah.
What is it?
The screening?
Yeah, it should be it.
I'm not worried about it.
What's about? It's about an airplane that goes down, right?
Something like that.
These guys are in love with the same woman?
No, it's two men, well, three men.
Well, that's the
sort of, who's the bad guy, you're not sure.
Oh.
Well, you are.
Yeah. Hanson said how much he respected the fact that you told him, I wrote the book, you make the movie, you acknowledged that there would be differences.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I guess that's rather rare in this business for a writer to have that attitude. Do you bear that out?
Yeah. I don't know if I've run this riff, because I run this riff, you know, for most of the groups that we've had so far this morning. You had the option not to take the money. You had the option not to take the option. You took the money. Yeah. You had to assume going in that they probably wouldn't make the book into a film. If they did, they'd fuck it up irreparably. They fuck it up irreparably, your job's to shut your mouth.
Stephen King always says the same thing, but now he's trying to direct his own movies and writing screenplays for the TV. He always says the book is the book, the movie's the movie.
Right.
But hey, he was behind the remake of The Shining. So.
Well, having seen the remake of The Shining, maybe he should not come.
Yeah.
Or either version of The Shining, maybe.
Yeah.
Are there other writers that you hang out with, or is that even possible?
Jesus. I know a bunch, and I see them. I happen to cross paths with them, usually doing media. I have to think for this. I know a million people casually, and a million name people casually, and none of them very well. What I do is live very quietly in Kansas City, and you know what a great place that is to live quietly and spend most of my time with my wife, who's a writer. She's a former feature writer and film critic and columnist for a newspaper in LA, and she's writing a novel now. And it's brilliant and substantially better than my first novel.
Well, who do you read?
I don't read anybody. I like to think. I like to brood. I like to listen to classical music in the dark. I like to watch boxing on TV.
What classical music?
I like the romantic composers. Yeah, music for me doesn't exist before Beethoven and doesn't extend beyond Rachmaninoff. I like the German and the Russian romantics.
I'll give you my book on Dvorak.
Really?
His years spent in America. 3 years he spent in America.
Did you write the book Dvorak in Love?
No, Dvorak in America, but I've interviewed Josef Skoretsky, who's in my book on Dvorak in America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know,
where do your influence come
from? For me, the cello concerto.
Which you wrote
in
America.
And the Seventh Symphony. Those are the two great ones. Absolutely. Fuck the Ninth Symphony. I've heard it too many times.
Well, where do your literary influences come from? What made you the writer you are? Just, were you just born that way?
Dashiell Hammett was a big influence, and Joseph Wamba, the L.A. cop turned novelist.
I did an interview with him once where he said that he decided not to be, no longer be a cop when he went to the scene of a crime in which a friend of his was killed and someone asked for his autograph because he was so famous, and he said, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
Can't do it anymore. He's no longer valid as a cop, nor did he want that in his life.
It's not the story I heard.
Well, who knows what he is. When the real story is, that was good copy. What can I
Yeah, I know, I know.
This is the story you heard. What did you hear?
I heard he was taking so many phone calls from agents and people that wanted to suck up to him in the squad room there when he was working Hollywood detectives, that a big, mean black captain came in, picked him up by the neck, threw him up against a wall, and humiliated the shit out of him and walked the next day.
That's a better story.
Yeah. I also heard that he covered, they were looking to get rid of him, and that he covered for a friend who was supposed to be out of a crime scene but was really drunk at a bar, and they used that as the means to get him out. See, it may be that Wombo, who I've met several times, has... John, if you need to call in the next 6 or 7 weeks, that's my publicist at Vintage. But we can definitely commit to the gig soon. Because I don't know exactly when I'm getting back, or I'd commit to it now. Yeah.
I'll see you tomorrow for TV.
Good. Good. Yeah. I want to sign everybody's book. Is this possible?
Yes, and then we're going to lunch.
We're going to lunch?
Yeah, we're going to do lunch.
John, I will sign yours tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, whose is this?
That's mine.
Yay.
Jay.
And that's my pen, so I'm going to keep on the eye.
Yay. Jay. Slash.
Yay, Jay. What should I say?
Pardon me?
You can say anything you like. My name is Jay.
Jay.
Thank you very much.
That's mine. Everybody got all 3 books, right?
What's your name?
Jeff.
J-E-F-F?
J-E-F-F.
Your lippy daughter.
When's your next book coming out, and what is it?
Sequel to American Tabloid.
No.
Littell and Boyd, or Littell and...